using 2023 as a building block to put me in a good chance to, you know, hopefully do big things in 2024. Just think of my goals sometimes and be like, well, if I want to achieve these big goals, you know, you got to put in the work, haven't you? But when it comes to the championships, you got people throwing elbows, throwing punches, like clipping each other's heels. Just, it gets pretty chaotic. It adds a fun element to it.
I'm Declan Burke, and welcome to The Sit Down, the podcast that explores the mindsets, motivations, and opinions of the elite talent, brands, agencies, and rights holders working with Sport Endorse. Today's guest, Alex George, is an English athlete that competed in the SEC for the Arkansas Razorbacks while on a sports scholarship in the USA. Alex hails from Gloucester, is an elite runner with Team England, who finished his 2022 season strongly with two podium placements. It was great talking with Alex, and you'll hear about his USA experience, what his aims for 2023 are, and his view on the importance of running shoes in terms of performance. Enjoy. Hi, Alex. How are you? How are you doing today?
Yeah, I'm doing well, thanks. How are you doing?
Yeah, good, good. It's a nice Thursday afternoon here in Dublin. Not raining for once, yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's raining here. I just got back from my run a couple hours ago, and yeah, nice rainy hour or so. So good stuff, right?
All right, so straight away, just back from your run. So what? Let's start there then. What's a kind of a typical day for you like in terms of training?
So for training, usually, I mean, it depends on the day, but most times it's two runs. It'll be an hour at a reasonably brisk pace in the morning and then about an hour again, but much easier in the evening. And some days I'll have, you know, strength conditioning on top of that.
Okay. So safe to say your lungs are in much better condition than mine.
Yeah, it really does help keep you fit, and it's enjoyable, I suppose.
Okay, good stuff. So anyway, for listeners, basically, let's start with the real basics then. So where are you from?
Gloucester, England. But, you know, I've got an American twang, as you could probably hear, and been in the US for 7 years just prior to this.
Okay, pretty cool. And as everyone will have picked up at this point now, you're a runner. So what attracted you to athletics and running in the first place?
So I sort of just fell into it naturally. We had a sports day at my secondary school and nobody wanted to run the 1500. So I was kind of pushed into it and I did pretty well, got second in the school, found out I really enjoyed running and competing. And, you know, eventually the next year I joined the athletics club and had some success and just, you know, really enjoyed competing, going on teams. I found the atmosphere was like much more suited to me than playing football. And yeah, I just kept getting more involved in it. And, you know, as my performances improved, I just, yeah, got more and more dragged into it.
So that seems like it's a kind of a passion and an enjoyment thing. So, you know, some of the sports people we talk to come across almost as if their sport is an addiction for them. Would you consider yourself sort of addicted to running, or is that a stretch?
I would say so. Yeah. I mean, obviously at the end of the season, I'm always really tired and like, I need a break. But after about 2 days off, I'm like, I want to run again. I want to run again. But my coach is, you know, making me take time off and recover. It's, you only realize it once you can't do it, how much of a, you know, an addiction it really is.
Okay, pretty cool, I guess. On addictions, I understand that you had success recently running for England, yeah? So how fun or how addictive is it when you run for your country?
It's you know, an incredible experience and a big honor. It's, you know, it's something I'd been missing in the past few years. And you get on a team, you're with the team staff and other athletes, and there's just always a really good vibe. Everyone's very excited to be there and understands what a, you know, privileged position you are to be on the team. You know, it's great, and I was certainly, you know, itching to get back in an England vest and was very fortunate to be able to do that this year.
And you medaled. Come on, don't be shy.
Yeah, I was third at the home country's international, so I was very happy with that. You know, it's been the highlight of my winter so far.
Okay, great stuff. And sure, we'll stick with the podium kind of trend. Because I understand you were running in Italy as well and managed to win that particular race.
Yes, yeah. I went to Milan a few weeks ago for the Milano Cross Country Challenge and won there. It was a good field. It was a fun race. The San Siro in the backdrop of it, which is pretty cool to run around because that's my, favorite football stadium. It's just great fun to be out in Italy. And really nice to win again. It's been a long time, actually.
Well, it seems like you're coming into a good vein of form. Yeah,
Yeah, definitely.
Two podiums in the last couple of months. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. It's been going really well, and I've from those performances, I've been picked to run cross country in Spain for England on this weekend. So the Sunday, the 8th of January.
Okay, great. So 3 days' time. Yeah, well, yep. Our very best of luck, just in case I forget to mention it afterwards.
Thank you very much.
We'll be cheering you on. So linked, but stepping away maybe from athletics a little bit, outside of it, to clear your head, what do you do for fun?
I like to read a lot. That's just something I've loved. I love academia. I love reading, especially about history and sports science. So I try and, do a little bit of like amateur coaching in my spare time to give back to sport. And I also find that, it helps me improve as an athlete. It helps me, get a bit more perspective and, just something to learn about the sport so that when I do give up, well, not give up, but retire from competitive athletics, I'll be able to still be involved.
Okay. Yeah. Smart thinking. Definitely smart thinking, because we run into a lot of athletes who, are very much caught up in the moment and never really have an eye on the future. And that can make the transition away from elite sport, or from competing in elite sport rather, that bit more difficult sometimes. So just on the book front, what's your favorite book of the last couple of months then?
That's tough. I've just finished reading one called The Great Empires of the Ancient World. I really enjoy history, and especially mainly old Chinese history. That was one thing I did a lot in my undergraduate studies. So this had a few empires from there. And yeah, it's just interesting to read about something we aren't usually exposed to.
Absolutely. I have something actually at home in the house, which was, I think, published by Rand McNally, which is a map makers, in something like 1936. And it's called the Histomap. Something like 4,000 years of the relative power of nation states. And it's very interesting kind of peoples. I mean, if you look at modern day Europe, let's say, Great Britain and Ireland in the Pacific, we really have, our influence on the world has been much more recent. Okay. Even the British Empire, if you look at that, it had clearly magnificent impact. Yeah. But if you plot it across 4,000 years, relatively recent, I'm one of the peoples who have been constant all the way down in some capacity or another are the Chinese. So absolutely amazing history. So given that it's a rainy day there, what do you do on the dark days? Now, not just weather-wise, but I mean, every athlete has tough times, right? So what do you do to stay motivated?
Well, I mean, obviously it's always difficult. Like, you go through, that's just how we are as humans. You go through, highs and lows in the sport. But usually I just, focus on just getting out that door, and I'll tell myself, just go run 5-10 minutes, just see how you feel. And usually, well, pretty much every time, I've never had it not happen, but you go for 5-10 minutes and you're like, I'm enjoying this, this is good. And you get the whole session you're meant to do in. And yeah, it's just sort of, you got to stick to a schedule, stick to a routine, and that helps to, cement in, the run's got to get done at this time. Even if you aren't feeling it, you'll be, happy you did it and enjoy it once you're out the door. It's just getting out there's the challenge. But yeah, I just think of my goals sometimes and be like, well, if I want to achieve these big goals, I've got to, you got to put in the work, haven't you?
Absolutely. It's, I've seen even in my very moderate sporting career years ago, because I'm too old now, I've seen where some really talented people kind of dropped off the radar a little bit because it was almost too easy for them. And some of the people who were good but had to really work at it actually wound up being very good. So I think, in an ideal world, you have a combination of both. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's very easy when you're like a super talented youngster because you turn up at races, you don't train that much, and you win, you do well. And I sort of suffered from that a little bit when I first went to US, is that I was a talented youngster. My training volume was pretty low. So you go to the US, everyone's training a lot more, you're competing against adults finally, and you're just getting beat, and you're like, damn, I've actually got to work more. You know, I can't just be like, train a few times a week and go out and party. You've got to, you know, commit to the whole lifestyle of recovery.
Okay, interesting. So you mentioned the States twice now, so I'm going to jump there if I can. My understanding is you went out to college, university in the States. Is that correct?
Yeah. I did my undergraduate at the University of Arkansas and my postgraduate at Arizona State University.
Okay. So, and did you go out in a sports scholarship or did you just enroll as a normal student?
Sports scholarship. Yeah, I was fortunate to, you know, receive a full scholarship and don't have student debt. So that's great.
Okay. Well, that's clearly bravo on that. Obviously talented. So on that, before I delve into kind of what that experience was like, any advice for any British or European athletes who are considering sports scholarships to the US?
I would really strongly consider it. Like, I don't really have any flaws of it. The only flaws or only down point I had was I got, you know, too carried away and too motivated to train too hard, but the coaches were telling me not to. So I think the main thing is you've got to trust yourself, you know, and yeah, it's a big leap of faith, but the facilities, the competition opportunities, the life experience, and, you know, ideally a debt-free education is something that's very hard to turn down.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, really compelling. And Arkansas and Arizona, two interesting places too. What was the highlight with your time in Arkansas and the highlight with your time in Arizona then?
So Arkansas, I'd say, I mean, it was a phenomenal experience. You're on a team full of like world-class athletes. You know, we had guys who were Olympic champions, Olympians training at the same facilities we're using. So, you know, you sort of go to training and you see an Olympic gold medalist training. You're like, can't really mess about here. Got to actually go to work. But in like performance wise, I'd say my highlight was we had a conference championship at our home cross country course, and I won individually and helped the team win. And I think the team win was really special because, you know, there was a big rivalry with another college, and we beat them fairly convincingly on the day, which is really enjoyable to do that at home.
Sorry, with a win like that, do you get permission to let your hair down a bit or not? Or is it like, you know?
Not officially, no. I mean, the thing is with it is the season is so short and so compact that you've got 2 weeks until the regional championship and then the week after the nationals. So really, yeah, you want to go out and party. But I think what we did is we went to a restaurant, had a nice meal, and then went home. Got a relatively early night because our goal was the national, you know, to do well at the national championships later on. So we were pretty responsible, which was, you know, very mature of us.
Absolutely. So, well, deferred satisfaction is fairly well known, but maybe deferred partying could be a skill set that every good athlete needs to learn. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. We had to pick our times to party, and, you know, when there was no racing, when we had our break, we hit fairly hard and had a good time, but you get out of your system, then you come back refreshed, ready to train.
Okay. Good stuff. 7 years in total, was it in the States?
Yeah, 7 years, 5 years for undergraduate, 2 years for master's. So I maximized it.
Okay, good stuff. So then a simple question, what was the best thing about living in the States?
That's tough. There's so many good things about it, honestly. Like the weather is very good. We don't, you know, Arkansas and especially Arizona doesn't really get cold. Not a lot of rain. So Arizona weather was perfect. Like I'd take that any day of the week. But the best thing, I think it's just being around a team of people who are as motivated as you are and as, you know, committed to the same goal, because athletics is rarely a team sport in UK or Europe. Mm-hmm. So yeah, just having a bunch of guys to go and train with every single day, who shared a passion, which you share, is something that I don't really know if I'm going to experience again in the sport, but I absolutely loved it and have made some lifelong friends.
That's a ringing endorsement, definitely. So I guess on the flip side of that, you've moved home to England. So what's been the best part about moving home?
It's sort of weird. It's like you come back and almost nothing's changed. It's home. It's been nice being able to actually see my family again. I got stuck at Arizona State. I didn't go home for 2 years because of COVID. We weren't allowed to travel. So being able to go back, see family again was, it's been great. And I love English food. Everyone sort of, hates on English food across the world, but I think it's really nice and I missed it.
Okay, that's good stuff. Yeah, it is funny. I spent over a decade away at one point and I used to reflect whenever I came home. You could be gone for 2-3 years and if you go down the local pub, meet your mates, it's kind of like, oh, how are you? Are you back from? And then inevitably get wherever you were wrong. And after about 30 seconds, it's just back into whatever the local soccer team did or whatever it is. Yeah. There was a kind of a comfort in that, though, interestingly enough for me. Anyway, I didn't have to explain what the adventures were. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I really enjoy that because just come back with your mates and it's just business as usual. It's great. And the people don't change. They're still as good as they were before.
So then on a sort of a more fun side, music. What type of music do you like?
I rarely listen to music, but I'll go all over the shop. Like sometimes it'll be, like Moroccan rap or just heavy metal, grime, club music, like genuinely just all over the shop. I just find the playlist, hit shuffle and go, yeah, cool, okay, That'll do. And just whatever it plays on the day is what I'll listen to.
Okay. So that's a nice broad view. That was a kind of a leading question in my head anyway, because sometimes music leads to dancing. So, athletes, particularly elite athletes like you are, tend to be incredibly good kind of in terms of controlling their bodies and doing things. So I always ask the dancing question because it doesn't necessarily translate. Yeah. So
I can't dance to save my life. I went to a wedding recently and I had my grandma trying to teach me how to dance and still couldn't do it after all of her advice. I'm just out there looking really weird and like I'm just doing the running motion to music. It's so ingrained in me that not very fluid with that.
Interesting stuff. Okay, well, here's an inside tip for you if you don't know. I know you're working with Dave Flynn, the athlete manager at Sport Endorse, yeah? So Dave is the best dancer in the office, yeah? So when he's not helping you at races or whatever else, maybe a few dance moves can be thrown in there, yeah?
Perfect, yeah. Next time I see him, I'll have to get some tips. He'll have to show me some shapes. I've seen videos of him dancing and it's phenomenal.
Yeah, it's pretty spectacular indeed. This question normally has a kind of a 50-50 strike rate, but in terms of heroes, would you have had a sporting hero?
Yeah, probably Fernando Alonso, the F1 driver. I just, so when I was a kid, my dad worked for Renault Formula One team. So, I got to sit in his car, try on his helmet, stuff like that. And
wow, that is cool.
So, yeah, that was really nice. And I just, as I've grown up, seen him race. Yeah, he left F1 and he's come back. But it's his mindset and his attitude and his belief towards his personal performance and what he can do is something that, really strikes me as what makes him a champion.
Okay, interesting. So then I'm going to, one of the other questions is like, outside of athletics, are you a fan of sport? And if so, what sports do you follow? So I'm guessing F1 is in there?
Yeah, F1's a big one. I like hockey, ice hockey, Pittsburgh Penguins are my team. I don't know why. It's like the least American sport, and I picked that one up. Arkansas, college football, go Hogs and all that, right? I like rugby, Gloucester rugby, local team, obviously. Yeah. And Blackburn Rovers are my, championship team.
Sport-wise to follow, huh?
Yeah. And it's like, it sort of comes and goes. F1's the one I probably follow most closely, then ice hockey, but then after that, I'll like, you know, watch the odd rugby game, watch the odd football game. It's sort of hard to, it was actually easier to watch Blackburn and Gloucester play whilst I was in the US than it is here, because for some reason they're always on the TV over there. But over here, it's really hard to find it.
That's fascinating. I was at my first ice hockey game in May of this year with Trev, the other co-founder of Sport Norse. We were in the garden in Boston watching the Bruins. What a spectacle. I literally was blown away. Yeah. It's, you know, three periods, but it's like every time there's a stop and play, the entertainment value is just enormous as well. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I love about American sports. And I've actually been to a Bruins game at TD Garden. They put on a really good show. And, it, you know, it's just like you get 20 seconds of high-end action followed by whatever entertainment they throw at you. So it makes for a great couple of hours.
Yeah, it's that's one thing we're all still learning from, I think, when it comes to, I think American sport in general has got the entertainment factor down. We're catching up. So then there's been a lot of debate in most sports about what produces performance, right? So, and every sport, pretty much nutrition and hydration are important. But for you specifically, how much of a role, you know, from a weighting perspective, do you place on them?
Pretty big role. More and more as I've gotten older and wiser, I suppose. When I was younger, I got, you know, in 2017, I had like back-to-back really bad injuries, and it essentially came from poor nutrition. So because of that, I've, you know, got help from others who are more knowledgeable in the area about how to fuel correctly, how to hydrate correctly. And, you know, it's basically led to me to, you know, have better performances, more consistency in training, and just be happier, because if you're underfueled, you're generally pretty grouchy. I can, you know, state how important it is. It's critical to, you know, performance and to just live a happy lifestyle, really.
Okay, so that's the easy box ticked. Now, specific maybe to running, what you put on your feet tends to be important, I understand. And there's been a wide-ranging debate, probably since, you know, Phil Knight started with Nike and continues, but particularly in recent years, about how the shoe impacts performance and what that is doing to tumbling records, etc. So how important is a shoe in your view?
Yeah, it's obviously very important. You know, especially now with the new technology, it essentially allows you to recover quicker. So you can do bigger sessions, train harder, but, you know, there's less mechanical stress on you. So you don't get injured, you recover, you can do more. But luckily it's pretty much an even playing field now. Most brands have caught up with the new technologies. And I think it's, you know, it's sort of good for the sport, because you've had a lot of records which have just been stuck and just untouchable. And now we're getting close to them and breaking them, but I don't think it's just the shoes alone. I believe that, you know, during the time of COVID, you had a long period where nobody had races. So everyone trained differently, because if you aren't, you know, peaking for a race or aiming for a race every few weeks, you get time to accumulate more training and to focus more on your basic training, like your endurance. And I think that combined with the new shoe technology, I think that's what's really improved and performances and moved the standard up.
Okay, that's pretty cool. So basically we'll say it's a level playing field again. Yeah. If you're well supported, which actually there's a nice segue there into being supported. Now, elite athletes the world over need support all the time. And I know outside of the sports where there's a lot of professionals, which are fairly few in terms of sports, support can be a challenge. Yeah. So I'm thinking, if we're thinking nutrition, we're thinking hydration, we're thinking shoes, we're thinking gear, we're thinking you were in Italy traveling there, you know, traveling around for competitions and stuff like that. That must put a fair burden on you financially and basically just having to come up with all that resource. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It is certainly difficult. And, you know, I now work, so, that's great. It's, you know, it's fun. It adds a little bit to my life, but it does make it definitely more difficult to, you know, recover. Like, I know a bunch of other guys who are around my standard, especially from, you know, other countries, because they get support through their country's like military system, where they essentially pay them as athletes. They're able to, you know, train, eat, sleep, train, you know, but I have to train, go to work for 8 hours, can't train again because it's too late, and then eat at 10 p.m., which isn't really ideal. But, you know, if it's, you know, running's a passion, I love competing, so I'm willing to, you know, make that sacrifice and go to work and do that alongside competing. And yeah, it's turned out all right so far. It just makes things a little bit more difficult.
But for any big companies in the Gloucester area, maybe what they'd like to do is sponsor you so that maybe you could work a little bit less and there and, you know, fly their flag on the podiums across Europe. Yeah.
Yes, that definitely would be appreciated. And luckily with British Athletics and IAAF, they're now allowing personal sponsors on your uniform. So opens up opportunities. And, you know, if anybody does want to sponsor me, I'd be very grateful for that.
Yeah. Well, don't worry. The Sport Norse team will be making sure anybody in Gloucester, or for that matter, England or Britain or Ireland, or actually the world, yeah, will be talking to them about you, Alex. So in terms of day-to-day brands that you use or consume, what would they be?
So for running shoes right now, I pretty much rotate between Saucony, Adidas, and Puma. A little bit of Nike, but not as much. As more of stuff I had from my university days. For, you know, nutrition, I use a lot of Science and Sport, Healthspan Elite. Those, I guess, are the main ones. But yeah, for clothing, pretty much same as what I mentioned. You know, yeah, just Nike, Saucony, Adidas, Puma. Yep.
And for, you know, if you're trying to carb load, what, like, do you have a favorite brand of pasta, or is it rice, or do you have lots of oats, or what's your norm?
I just, honestly, for pasta, we have a nice company in where I work. We serve the Yorkshire Pasta Company, and I really like what they make. It's really good. You know, I love coffee as well. We have some local ones like Extract Coffee. I always go for their stuff. It's what we make when I make coffees at work. Well, what we use to make coffees at work. So, you know, I like working with it so much that I buy it myself. But yeah, I also really like, it's like Kvarg. It's like a German yogurt, protein yogurt thing. It's really good though. It's great. Okay. Great in the morning.
And it's available in the UK?
Yeah. I can't remember what company sells it. I think it's Nestle, and then there are some other ones, but yeah, it's just always sold at Lidl and stuff like that. So okay. I fill up on it.
Okay. Yeah, well, that's, I always get interested then, and then I want to go and taste all this stuff myself. Yeah. Looking at 2023, what are the goals or aspirations you have?
I would like to raise the consistency in my performances. I felt like that's a little bit lacking, and, you know, I've reached a good level. I just need to, you know, have a little bit of a breakthrough and then just keep stacking performances at that level, which I think I should be able to do because the training this year has been a lot more consistent and a much higher level than previously. So that should be possible. There aren't too many championships in 2023 to aim for. There's just the world championship. And, you know, I think I'd have a very outside chance of it. It just depends on getting into races where I can get the points and then, you know, beating other guys from Britain, which we're quite strong at the 5K right now. So, you know, always a challenge. But I think it's more of using 2023 as a building block to increase the level of performances across the board to put me in a good chance to, you know, hopefully do big things in 2024.
Okay. Sounds good. Well, you certainly, I mean, if you continue the form you've had at the back end of 22, and if you manage to do that consistently across 23, that in and of itself would be a magnificent achievement. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it'd be very good. And, you know, cross country, usually I run better on the track than cross country. So if I'm doing well on cross country, then hopefully it translates to big things on the track.
Yeah. It's, I mean, talk about a difference in running, you know, slipping in mud or trying not to slip in mud and, you know, running up and down hills versus actually the pure track. So actually a completely amateur question from my perspective, at like the start of the race, or at different points, is there more or less kind of jostling / elbowing technically presumably isn't allowed, but in a cross country race or in a track race?
I think usually it depends on the style of the race and on the track, because if it's a time trial where you're just trying to run fast, nobody wants to elbow, nobody wants to jostle, they just want to get in a line and run fast. But when it comes to the championships, you got people throwing elbows, throwing punches, like clipping each other's heels. Just, it gets pretty chaotic. It's it adds a fun element to it, because you've got to be in a good position, yes, but you've also got to make sure you haven't like used all your energy fighting other people for that position. But I think the start of a cross-country race is crazy, just because in the track, you sort of understand what the pace is, and people will file into line based on the pace they want. But cross-country, everybody is going for it in the first like 500 meters. So you got guys who are going to finish, you know, a minute behind you, pushing and shoving you. So it's definitely more chaotic at the start of cross-country, but in a championship race on the track, it's just every lap is just a bit of a fight until it strings out at the end.
It's really interesting. And to think about then your mental preparation then, if you're visualizing, et cetera, for both races or types of race needs to be quite different, I imagine. Yeah.
Yes, definitely. You know, with cross-country, it's sort of, you can take it more as it comes because there's longer to react to moves, and you generally feel people out throughout the race. Whereas in the track, you know where you need to be at a certain time and what you need to do. And there's more time based to it. So you can like see if you're running fast, see if you're running slow, how does it affect other people? So yeah, you just have to really, yeah, just approach them as their own, almost not two separate sports, but as their own beast really.
Okay. Well, listen, that's been a very enjoyable chat from my perspective. I've learned some stuff as well. I'm going to listen back and get the name of that German protein yogurt. I'll be trying some Yorkshire pasta, you know. Just to say thank you very much, Alex. I'll, for everybody who's listening, Alex is on the Sport Endorse platform, and we consider him to be a great athlete, and we're very happy he's on the platform. We're delighted, and we're going to do our very best to help him. So we wish you the very best for 2023, Alex.
Thank you very much, and thanks for having me. It's been great to chat with you.
Okay, cheers.
Cheers.
That's all for this episode. Thanks once again to Alex for giving us his time and sharing his views, and to everyone continuing to download and listen to The Sit Down. We truly appreciate your support. If you're interested in partnering with Alex, who is clearly an articulate communicator and a determined competitor, he's easy to find on the Sport Endorse platform. Reach out to us by email to hello@sportendorse.com or DM us via social media. Be sure to follow Sport Endorse on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn for all the latest updates. Until next time, take care and be relentless.